All right, here we are again, episode 6 of the Crossover Conversations podcast. We are the Wyatts, your hosts. I'm Devin.
I'm Katie.
And it seems like every single week we've got a lot to cover in what seems like a little bit of time. So I think we need to jump right into it. Let's talk about this past week first. I think the biggest game of the week was on Sunday. It was the Fever versus the Mercury in Phoenix. Did you have any immediate takeaways from that, Katie?
So I think one of the biggest takeaways is how friendly Phoenix was toward Caitlin Clark.
Yeah, what was up with that? I was so confused.
What do you mean you were so confused? Well, I thought it was just so refreshing.
Well, I mean, it is refreshing, don't get me wrong, but when you have, in the middle of March Madness, Diana Taurasi basically throwing shade at Caitlin Clark saying, it's easy when you're going up against 18-year-olds. When you get to the W, you know, there's going to be something else coming for you. And then you're going to act all buddy-buddy with her? I mean, I don't know.
I think that, I mean, first of all, they had a record crowd. I think I read something like that was the biggest crowd that Diana Taurasi has ever been a part of. Okay, so I think that there's like an obvious effect. Mm-hmm. I think that Diana took the high road. I do. I think we also saw Brittany Griner talk to Caitlin and give her a hug, and she was pretty friendly as well, and that was refreshing. And I don't know much about Brittany Griner, but that was cool to see also, like a big time name in the W.
Right.
There was also another situation where I think it was Kalia Copper, is that her name?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Where she had hit up a shot and the shot was coming back to hit her head, Copper's head.
Yep, I remember seeing this.
Caitlin went and tried to bat the ball away so that it didn't hit Copper's head. And Copper thought that Caitlin was trying to hit her on the back with her. Yes, the back of her head. Well, then some of the Phoenix teammates saw it and told Copper. And Copper went over and apologized to Caitlin. And, like, she didn't have to do that.
No.
You know? Yeah. Like, she could have just been annoyed, but she did. So, that was just cool to see.
Do you think she being Caitlin Clark, is starting to earn respect of some of these vets? Do you think that was what we were seeing, is her play basically speaking for her and the vets being like, okay, yeah, she can ball, she can hang, like, she's been beaten up, let's give her a little bit of respect?
That's a good question. I don't really know. I don't feel like the vets really want to admit yet that Caitlin can hang. I feel like they can admit that she draws giant crowds and is excellent for the game. But I don't know. I think they're still a little reluctant to completely buy in to Caitlin Clark's skills.
Yeah, which from their perspective, I totally understand. Like if you're them and you had to work super hard, not saying Caitlin Clark hasn't worked super hard, because she has, but if you had to work super hard just to get a few fans in the stands and work super hard to get any kind of respect in the WNBA, and then Caitlin Clark comes in and essentially makes it look easy, like draws crowds straight in as a rookie, you know, is making almost triple doubles against some of the league's, you know, oldest veteran players, I can see how it would rub them the wrong way.
Yeah, maybe so. I don't know. But before the game was even started is when they were pretty nice to her, and then she ended up being one rebound.
Yeah,
is that
one
right?
One rebound shy of being the first rookie in WNBA history to have a triple-double.
That is so crazy.
It's crazy, one, that it hasn't happened before with some of the great players they've had. But, yeah, it's crazy that she came one rebound shy of it. I mean, that's insane.
Maybe we'll see it happen later in the season.
Yeah. But speaking of other games, Commissioner's Cup rematch. How about that? And it was pretty soon after the actual Commissioner's Cup, but with different results.
That's right. We didn't get to watch that one, but it is, you know, the tables turned and Liberty came ready to play.
Yep. And it was back in New York, but actually at their home stadium this time. So I kind of wonder if that maybe had a little bit of effect on the game.
Yeah, that could be. We also forgot to mention that the Fever did win against the Mercury.
Oh, yes. Sorry.
Skated by. It was a nail biter at the end. I think it came down to a couple mistakes on the Mercury side and a very, very clutch shot by Kelsey Mitchell, but they did pull it out. Like you said, Liberty won by 9. I don't even know how close that game was throughout the game.
I just saw box scores, and I didn't pay much attention to it, so I couldn't tell you.
Yeah. So what else?
Well, Angel Reese is still going strong with her double-double streak.
Man, she is something else.
Is it ever going to end? Is she going to ever not score a double-double at this point?
I think that her team is going to try to set her up for that, and then I think that the longer Angel can do this, the better chance she has at Rookie of the Year.
I 100% agree. I mean, if I'm a voter right now, I'm probably voting for her over Caitlin Clark. Not that Caitlin Clark hasn't done well, but I think as far as being able to help their team consistently and make an impact consistently, I think Angel Reese takes the cake on that one.
I think you're probably right. I think it'll come down to what the voters are looking for. Are they looking for someone who is best at, like, all around? Are they looking for, what do you call it, net efficiency? What's the, is that the term where it's like you have more positives than negatives?
Right. Yep.
Are you the most impactful on your team? Are, you know, I think I saw something that said the Sky have won less or equal to what they won last year, where the Fever have won more games this year than all season last year. So it's like, are they going to look at that? Or, you know, Angel Reese.
Very good points.
Angel Reese is dominant in what she does.
Definitely.
Caitlin doesn't really have one area where she is super dominant, but like as an all around player, she really does pretty well, you know, in all of the different stats. So,
yeah, it's a good point. We don't really know what the voters are looking for. And it could vary from voter to voter. So that's a very good point. Dallas, our hometown team, man, they're struggling.
They are struggling. And I really, we went to the preseason game against the Fever where they won.
Right. And I thought they looked pretty good.
Yeah, I mean, they looked great. They were pretty clutch. And they were also playing the Fever, who is a brand new team, super young. They Fever obviously still sit toward the bottom, but I know it's really hard. And I saw an interview with Arike, and she mentioned how it's been a tough season. And I guess we'll see kind of what comes of that. If they keep losing, then how's that going to work with next year's draft?
I was about to say, is it too early to start calling for a tank for the number one draft pick? Is it too early in the season?
Is that a real thing?
Okay, well, that's a good question. Is it a real thing?
Like, I know it's not technically legal, but like, I don't know how they make it happen if it's not condoned.
Right? Does it happen? I think that there are instances where front office staff members will say, "Hey, it would be better for us if we lost the next couple of games." As a player, do I think the players go out there with the intent of losing? Absolutely not. I think players at that level are so competitive that for them to purposely lose, it would be an insult to them.
Yeah.
So no. From a player's perspective, I don't think they have ever had any intent to lose a game on purpose. I just think it's something that kind of maybe comes from front office staff. And I'm not saying that they even do things on purpose. I think that they look at it from a business perspective.
Right.
And to them, they see it as, hey, we're not going to make the playoffs. We're not going to do X, Y, Z. As a business for us, it would be better if we just lost out and get the number one overall pick, you know, and get a big profile name like Paige Bueckers, potentially, who's going to bring in crowds and new energy to our team.
Right. Oh, for sure. I would just die if Paige Bueckers came. I think it would be...
Wait, die in a good way?
In a very good way, because not only is she incredible, but I think there would be a similar impact to the Caitlin Clark effect.
Oh, 100%.
I really do. Yeah. And it would be so good for Dallas.
Especially with Dallas moving to a new arena, not next season, so not the 2025 season, but the 2026 season.
Right. So, and I don't know who is really behind Paige as far as, you know, like an exciting, I don't know how old Juju is. She's a freshman, I think, right? Maybe
yeah.
Haley Van Lith. You're right. And she's playing at TCU.
So it'd be kind of cool
maybe
to see her
Flauge,
stay in the
VFW
area.
I think she's maybe coming up next year. But, I mean, Paige, I feel like by far is going to be the one.
Yeah, unless something crazy happens
this upcoming.
The one
to watch. So I don't want Dallas to lose, but I kind of think it'd be amazing. And my other question about that is with the WNBA draft, does it – work where it's like the lowest seeded team chooses first, or is it like the NBA where it's like
a lottery
basically?
I will look into that for next episode, but I am pretty sure it is the old school worst record team gets the first pick, and I think they do that just because there's so few teams.
I think there's some kind of there's still like trades and stuff because
there's definitely trades.
Chicago with them being able to pick Angel and Camilla in the same round,
right.
But yeah, I'm also curious because I've seen standings where it's like here are the standings based on wins and losses, and then here are the standings based on just like how good we think, you know, the teams are. And I'm curious if in the WNBA draft, if like which standings it's truly based on. So we'll figure that out and report back.
Yep. And just week. for what it's worth, Dallas is actually up by a point right now against the Atlanta Dream with 2:50 left in the game.
All right.
So maybe they'll actually squeeze out a win here. Another big news, the All-Star roster was announced
this week.
I think this is the biggest bit of news of the week so far in the WNBA. Did you have any immediate takeaways or surprises maybe on the roster picks?
I think we were all excited to see that Angel Reese and Caitlin Clark are going to be playing together.
Yes, you had mentioned it a couple weeks ago, but this will be the first time they've ever played together on the same team, whether it be college, professional, travel in high school, you know, Team USA, whatever. Yep, first time ever.
And then I think a lot of people were disappointed that Dejanay Carrington was not on the team.
That kind of surprised me.
I think she's a pretty impactful player. There are quite a few Connecticut representatives between the All-Star team and the USA Women's National team.
Yep.
So I think that was a disappointing, I guess, non-vote.
Right, non-pick.
Yeah.
For what it's worth, there are actually only three teams that didn't have a player on Team WNBA, I should specify.
Okay, so we're not including the U.S. Women's National
Team. Not including the national team, just Team WNBA.
Okay.
There were three teams that didn't have anyone.
One of them is the Aces.
That is correct.
And part of it because a third of
Team USA is from the Aces.
Right.
So yes, Aces were one. The Mercury were another. Again, another team with a couple of players on Team USA.
Okay.
And then the last one was the Washington Mystics. They didn't have a single player on either team. The only one.
Wow.
Yep. Only team with not a single player on either Team USA or Team WNBA.
They really don't have a standout player.
No, they really don't. Mm-mm.
Yeah. I mean, they have some solid ones, but none where it's like you rely on them.
Right. None that are, like you said.
Every single
kind of
week.
Like that next level all-star caliber player.
Right.
The Fever actually had the most players, not counting the Aces, the most players of any team. They had three on Team WNBA, the All-Star
team. Well, I'll add the Mercury
the
U.S. Women's National team. Right. But yes, and I was thinking about this. With the Fever having three, they're also somewhere in the bottom four in the standings. I think they're number nine right now.
They are currently at number nine.
I think that in 2023, I think Aaliyah Boston was on the All-Star team.
I am pretty sure you're correct, yes.
And so it doesn't totally surprise me that she was voted again.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't surprise me at all that Caitlin Clark is there. It surprised me. I think it surprised me a little bit and just other fans a little bit that Kelsey Mitchell made the team. But I also know Kelsey Mitchell is one of the top three leading scorers in the NCAA
history.
Yeah, right. That's what I'm saying. And so anyway, she is a great player. I think most people didn't feel like that vote made a lot of sense.
Mm-hmm. Especially, at least in some people's eyes, especially voting her in and leaving Dejanay Carrington out.
Right.
You're right. That was interesting. I think there were three names that kind of stuck out to me as names of, interesting picks, because they're names that you don't really hear a whole lot about. They were Alicia Gray, Breonna Jones, and Kayla McBride. Did you kind of have that same similar feeling?
I don't really know them. Breonna Jones was actually on last year's team.
Oh, the All-Star team?
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
and then who were the other two you said?
Alicia Gray. She plays for the Atlanta Dream.
Okay.
She
was on the team last year also.
Okay. Yeah, interesting.
And then who's the third one?
Breonna Jones.
You already said that.
Oh, Alicia McBride. Gray. I'm sorry. Kayla McBride.
Kayla McBride. Let me look to see.
Plays for the Lynx currently. Not sure what about last year.
Yeah, I don't see her on the list from last year.
Okay, so two of those, Breonna Jones and Alicia Gray, were on last year's team, at least. So they're at least multiple time All-Stars. So maybe that's not as surprising as I had originally thought. They're just, I don't know, maybe not as popular in the media, I guess, or in nationwide media.
Well, you said Kayla McBride is on the Lynx, right? Mm-hmm. And yeah, we don't know much about the Lynx in general. So
right.
You said Alicia Gray plays for Atlanta, and Breonna Jones plays for
Connecticut.
All right. Yeah.
Interesting. Do you think, looking at the rosters, do you think that Team WNBA stands a chance, or do you think it's going to be a blowout?
I just don't know. I have never watched the WNBA All-Star game before, and I don't know if this is like just a fun thing or if like they're competing for something. You know what I'm saying? Like, I can't remember who. Is it MLB where it's like whoever wins the All-Star game, they get home field advantage
in the World Series.
And so I don't know if there is something like that they have to play for. It's a little different this time, right? Because we're playing WNBA All-Stars against Team USA.
Right. So
maybe it's just a cash prize. I mean, I think what's going to happen is the U.S. national team is going to want to look really dominant.
Correct. Yes,
and
I agree.
So I think it will be less fun and more like, let's show the world, you know, how we measure up to the like next best players, you know, and just kind of show everyone what we're, you know, going
what we're
with.
Made of. Yeah. Right. Yeah. I don't know. I agree. It is really hard to tell if I do think they're going to try to have a strong showing, they being Team USA. But I don't know if at any point after the first quarter or even the first half, if they will start to kind of pull back, and the Team WNBA might come in and make it close. And I say they might pull back only because it is right before the Olympics, and I doubt any of them want to do anything crazy that would possibly get them hurt so that they couldn't play in the Olympics.
Right.
So that's kind of where my mind's going on that. So
that makes sense. And even on the WNBA team side, we have De'Erica Hamby, who's an Olympic athlete.
Exactly. She's on the 3-on-3 team.
And then I know Ryan Howard wasn't on that team. I think she's probably going to save everything she can.
Right. Trying to get healthy for the Olympics.
Right.
Yep.
And then I think I saw on that All-Star week or weekend or whatever, there are a couple of challenge competitions.
Yeah, it's kind of like the NBA, you know, how they kind of have like a all-star weekend full of events, a little bit smaller shindig with the WNBA. But yeah, the night before the game, there is the skills challenge and the three-point challenge. 3-point challenge, pretty self-explanatory. It's just like the NBA. You have, what is it, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 spots, 5 balls at each spot. Whoever makes the most at the end wins. It's essentially how it goes. I mean, it's a little more complicated than that as far as like bracket play within that, but that's pretty much how it goes. The skills challenge, if you haven't seen a skills challenge before, it might be confusing, but it's basically a combination of dribbling, passing, shooting, and you do it all, you know, in the same order everybody does, and you do it as fast as you can, and whoever does it the fastest wins.
I'm curious how those are picked. Like, who decides, you know, certain people are right. And the other question I have is, do we think that there are people who are not selected for either of those teams who may be brought in for maybe not the 3-point competition, but for some of the skills right?
Huh. I don't know. With this year being so different, I think it's possible. I will say that traditionally speaking, no. It's only people in the All-Star game.
So if you had to guess right now, if you had to choose 2 people that you think are going to do 3-point contest, no, you can't look anything up. Put your phone down.
So I can't look and see who currently has the highest 3-point field goal percentage?
No, you can only look at the 2 teams.
Okay.
Who do you think are 2 people who will do the 3-point challenge and 2 people who will do the skills challenge?
I think Sabrina Ionescu will do the 3-point challenge. I think Caitlin Clark will do the 3-point challenge. Skills challenge, I think Kelsey Plum will do the skills challenge because I know she did it last year. And I'm going to try to pick someone from Team WNBA just to keep it consistent. I think maybe Kelsey Mitchell. I know I just picked 2 Indiana Fever players, but yeah, I mean that makes sense. Maybe.
Gosh, I think someone.
Man, I don't know.
Maybe Asia Arike. Wilson.
Arike would be a good pick.
She would be a really challenge. Good pick. I feel like in my head with the skills challenge, it needs to be someone a little lower to the ground, you know, with like the dribbling and the.
Yeah, you know, it's definitely going to be a guard for sure.
Yeah, so
you're not going to see Asia Wilson out there.
Really?
Dribbling down the court. No.
Oh, she's just such a powerhouse.
I mean, not saying she couldn't. She for sure could.
I forget she's a post.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because my guesses were going to be Breanna Stewart and Asia Wilson.
Now, Breanna Stewart, I could see being a little bit more likely. She's more guard-like. They're both technically forwards, I believe. I haven't watched enough of the Aces. Asia might be playing center. But Breanna Stewart definitely is more of a forward, which is kind of a, at least in her role, a cross between a guard and a post. So they could, but doubt it. Doubt they will.
Yeah.
I did see, I thought this was interesting. So I actually saw earlier today that tickets for the WNBA All-Star Game sold out, which is good. That's big news because it's being held in Phoenix. So I know they're.
Oh, they were sold out?
Yeah. Tickets officially sold out. But in the aftermarket, there's still some sales, or resale market, I should say. And I saw that there are plenty of tickets on sale for under $200, which to me seems like a steal. Like you get to see Team USA women's basketball without having to travel all the way to Paris, and you get to see the rest of the best WNBA players all playing under one roof at the same time. Like, to me, that's a steal. I mean, there are some individual games where you only get to see 2 good players in the regular season that are going for way over that.
Right. Yeah. I think we'll see if those shoot up eventually, because I feel like so many of these ticket prices have gone crazy because of Caitlin Clark. And I just imagine with that big of a cast, it'll go up for higher. But
I could, to your point, I checked, let's see, the announcement was made Tuesday. It's Friday today. So maybe it was Wednesday or yesterday that I checked these ticket prices. So it is highly possible that people were kind of waiting to see who was going to make the team, and now all these fans are going to come out of nowhere and just drive up those prices.
Maybe so. Here's a follow-up. Here's a question.
Okay.
Okay, so we know that Cheryl Reeve is the coach for Team USA.
Mm-hmm.
Who is your guess on who is going to be the coach for the All-Star?
Man.
And you cannot guess Becky Hammon, because that was mine.
That seems like the obvious pick.
That was my guess, and I thought it would be especially fun because she has four players not on her team. Like, she'll be playing against them. Right. So if you had to guess someone besides
Becky,
who's your pick?
Oh, I don't remember her name, but maybe the head coach for the Liberty?
Oh, yeah.
That seems like it could be a decent pick.
Yeah. She's Australian or something.
Oh, interesting. Crikey.
My second guess was going to be the Mercury head coach. Oh,
yeah. That's another good one.
Also, because I don't think he has anyone on the WNBA All-Star team.
Yeah.
And also because it's his hometown. And also, I think he's like one of the highest. I'm pretty sure he is the highest paid
coach
in the W.
Okay, so all these points you're making are very good. I can see that now.
So we'll see. They haven't announced it, but maybe this week they will.
Yeah. Katie, can I air a complaint with you?
Let's hear it.
There's something that's really starting to annoy me.
Just share your grievances.
Okay, here we go. The Dallas Wings, our hometown team. Do you know how many of their games we've been able to watch on TV this season?
Yes, I do. Zero.
Zero. Do you know why? Because every single one of them is blacked out.
I know.
It is the most annoying thing ever.
I had to get on Reddit to figure out why.
Please explain to everybody why.
So I guess when you buy the WNBA League Pass, mm-hmm. they only market buying that package. Uh-huh. As games that are outside of your home market. Mm-hmm. Yes. And the reason is because the home market wants you to buy from their local sports media, right? Mm-hmm. Which is Bally Sports here. Bally covers Mavericks, Texas Rangers, you know, all of the local teams. Mm-hmm. And it is frustrating because we already paid for League Pass,
right?
And now Bally wants
$20 a month.
$20
on top of that, and it's not like I'm paying $20 a month for, you know, Hulu, where I get all these movies and TV shows. I'm paying $20 a month for literally a couple of sports teams, and that's it.
Yeah, it is pretty frustrating. Especially what's frustrating to me is that even when these games are on like Ion or something, mm-hmm. that is a more nationally televised,
right.
it doesn't seem like we are getting those.
No, it's so annoying.
It is really very frustrating. And I mean, to be completely honest, like I want the Wings to win, but more so it's like if they play the Fever, if they play the Aces, if they play the Liberty, like teams I'm more interested in, mm-hmm. and they're playing at home, it's frustrating because then I can't see two of the teams I'm interested in. So
right.
I just, yeah, we didn't know that when we purchased League Pass, and mm-hmm. we didn't figure it out for quite a while. So
yeah.
I don't see it changing anytime soon. No. And I also, frankly, I don't really see Bally worth, buying unless next year we have someone like Paige who comes in, you know, when we want to see her.
Might be worth the extra, what, $40 for over the course of a season?
Right. So.
But, yeah.
We'll see.
I think the WNBA needs to figure that out personally. I'm assuming here that our situation is also occurring in other markets as
well.
It
is, yeah. That Reddit post said that it happens everywhere.
Okay, and I personally think this is a bad move on the WNBA's part for not negotiating better. It's just not helping them grow their sport any.
Aren't they renegotiating this year, though?
Well, yes. The collective bargaining agreement ends at the end of this season. I believe they are renegoating TV contracts at the end of this year as well.
So we'll see if anything changes.
Yeah, we'll see. But, I mean, in order for the sport to grow to where I think they want it to go, you're going to want eyes on the games. And, like, who cares how you get the eyes on the game, to be honest with you, at this point. If it means, you know, giving up a $20 a month subscription so that I can sit here and watch on League Pass, then by all means do it. I mean, I don't know. Sorry, I'm kind of ranting here, but it's frustrating.
Yep. We can only hope that the bargaining agreement changes things.
Yep, I hope so. Looking ahead this coming week, there's a couple of good games. I feel like this week isn't jam-packed full of good games as there have been. But there are a couple. I think Wednesday especially, there's like five games Wednesday, and it seems to be like the day to watch a game if you're going to sit down and watch some WNBA. The New York Liberty and Connecticut played number one and number two in the Eastern Conference right now.
Okay.
On Wednesday. That could be interesting for multiple reasons. also on Wednesday, Washington and Indiana play. They're both Eastern Conference teams, both kind of hovering in that, you know, 9, 10, 8, depending on the week position in the standings. They both played each other pretty well. The couple times they have played each other, could be win number 9 for the Fever if they get it. And then the Atlanta Dream and Chicago Sky also play on Wednesday. Both teams are well, not anymore. Chicago is actually in a playoff spot. But I was going to say both teams are just a hair shy of being a playoff spot. But Chicago won a night or two ago, and I think that bumped them up. But they're both right there. So playoff implications, I mean, I say playoff implications. It's still early on in the season, but it matters.
Yeah. I think I was looking into this weekend, and it feels like there's a pretty big discrepancy between the teams playing this weekend. Like Liberty and Fever, the Liberty have been pretty dominant. The Mystics and the Lynx have been pretty dominant. Yeah. Same with Sunday. It's like the Dream and the Sun is just a very clear, you know, stronger team. And Aces and Wings, same thing. So I don't know if it's going to be like a great basketball weekend, but we will still find ourselves watching.
Oh yeah, I'll be watching. If nothing else, I'll have it on in the background just so I can catch a few minutes here and there as the kids are running around wreaking havoc on our house.
Yeah, right. I'm also curious. So I think that the last game is July 17th. So we are really only looking at another 10 or 12 days of basketball.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's going up fast.
Until just like the All-Star game.
And then we have the Olympic break.
The Olympic break, which we will watch those games, but it'll just be a little bit different. Mm-hmm. I'm actually curious when those games will be played and if it'll align with times that we're even awake, exactly, or can watch them. So
you don't have to wake up at 4 a.m. to watch a game.
Right. And then it looks like everything resumes back on August 15th. So
So roughly about a month where there's no official WNBA games.
Right. Yeah, I was thinking, and I was reading this too, about how this will be Caitlin's longest break since October of last year.
That's crazy.
So 9 months straight of basketball, which is pretty crazy.
That is pretty crazy.
I think it's going to be a really good break for really all of the rookies.
Mm-hmm. They're going to get some. Oh, yeah, you're right. All the rookies went basically straight from playing NCAA tournament games to being professional athletes and playing a season or going into training camp, I guess, and then going into their season. So you're right. Their legs are in desperate need of a break. So it'll be good. I think it'll give them some fresh legs, fresh mind, and help them, you know, kind of pick it up the second half of the season, where they might be starting to get a little tired now, understandably.
Yep. And then just a month more basketball after that.
I know. It's.
We'll say, where did the season go?
I was about to say, I feel like it's flown by.
It's been a fun one so far.
Almost halfway through, but yeah, you're right. It has been a fun one. Well, guys, we really appreciate everybody listening, and we appreciate continued support from everyone. Thanks again for listening. This is the Crossover Conversations Podcast. We're your hosts, the Wyatts. I'm Devin.
And I'm Katie.
Thanks again, guys.